الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وقال تعالى إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا وقال تعالى ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, the topic that we have at hand today is a topic of the responsibility of the Muslims in the present day situation. Before we look at this question, very briefly, as an introduction, we need to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system with regard to human beings in this universe. Allah ta'ala says that we have created the process of life and death, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test who does righteous deeds and who does deeds which are not righteous. This whole concept, this concept that we as human beings, we are under examination, we are under trial in this worldly life, brings about and opens up to us doors and vistas of knowledge and wisdom. Firstly, the first thing that it brings to our attention is that when a person writes an examination, then no one during the process of writing the examination regards himself to be successful. Because he doesn't know what is going to be the consequences and the results of his examination. So no one while writing the examination feels and go and declare and proclaim, I'm successful, while he's writing the examination. In a similar manner, this concept will make it clear that it is just as foolish for a person to start regarding himself as successful, for a person to start proclaiming his piety, to take pride with regard to his taqwa and piety before the examination is finished. It would be foolish for him to even start contemplating in that direction. That is why we find the ulama and the great scholars in Islam, that humility was one of the greatest forte and one of the greatest attributes. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was very well known with regard to his ilm and his scholarship and his piety and his knowledge. Hearing about his knowledge and piety, people from North Africa send a person to go and ask him certain questions that the people of the area and region were confronted with. And the person came before Imam Malik saying that I have heard about your scholarship and piety, therefore the people of the region have sent me. And he asked the question. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi thought for a moment and said that I do not know the answer. The people were taken aback. The person who came and asked and said, what do I go and tell my people? What do I go and tell the people back at the region who, hearing about your scholarship and piety, have asked me to come and put forward this question? So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi calmly replied and said, go and tell them, I do not know the answer to it. This was his humility. Then of course another aspect you find is Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi on his deathbed. When the people, seeing that he is about to depart, made and started reciting the kalima la ilaha illallah at his death, at his bed, he in return said, no, not now, not now. People were amazed, great scholar, great imam, saying such a thing at such a critical juncture of his life. After he regained consciousness after a while, they asked him the reason why he was saying those things, why not now. And he said that shaitan and iblis came to me and said, oh Ahmad, you have managed to save yourself from my clutches and you are to depart this world with faith. And I was saying, no, I'm still not successful. I still have breath of life. something could happen and I could depart from this world in another state. So I was not replying to you who were saying the kalima around me. I was replying to Iblis and saying, no, not yet. I'm still not successful. So this is the aspect with regard to examination and trial. Another aspect that we learn from this aspect that we are under trial in this, is that during the course of an examination and trial, you find differing type of questions that come. Sometimes the questions are easy. And when a question comes easy in the examination, once again a person don't come proclaim, because of the question being easy, that I am very successful. Or neither does he proclaim if there is a challenging question, that I am a failure because the question is very difficult. He doesn't regard himself as a failure. He also realizes that when a question that is posed is challenging and it is difficult, and if you give a satisfactory response and answer to a challenging question, then the chances of you getting a good mark and being successful is even more greater. Similarly, in our circumstances, when Allah clearly says that we have created the process of life and death to see who does righteous deeds and who does evil deeds, during the process of the trial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring differing conditions upon human beings. And that is part of the trial. For a person to think otherwise, that because I am in easy conditions, I am successful, or otherwise because there is difficult conditions that have come upon me, I am a failure, it is not understanding that during the course of a trial, Allah ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَعْثَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala upon the ummah of the past, Allah Ta'ala brought about difficult conditions. And the reason why Allah Ta'ala brings about difficult conditions normally upon people individually or collectively is one of two reasons. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes wants to warn you of the path that you have adopted. That it is a path that is taking you away from Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala, by jolting you, by bringing that difficulty upon you, makes you realize, I need to turn towards Almighty Allah and leave the path which is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wishes and pleasure. Allah Ta'ala gives us the difficult condition for us to realize to turn back towards Almighty Allah. It is not, I hesitate to use the word, it is not a full punishment. Because this place, this dunya, is not a place for punishment, or neither is a place for full reward. Because our ulama constantly tell us that this dunya is Darul Imtihan, a place of trial and examination. The day of Darul Jaza and Yawmul Jaza is not this world, it is the year after. So when Allah Ta'ala sometimes brings difficult conditions, it is to jolt us, that perhaps we make you taste difficult conditions from time to time, prior to the difficulty that will come upon people who do evil deeds, the ultimate punishment in the day of Qiyamah. But why do we make you taste difficult conditions here? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that you might turn towards Almighty Allah. So that you might turn towards Almighty Allah. The second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes bring about difficulty is to test people, and so that by passing through that test, Allah ta'ala could elevate their status. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Allah ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam in several occasions. And every time he came through that test with flying colors. And Allah Ta'ala said, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, I would make you a leader amongst people because of you passing and going through that crucial and difficult phase in your life. And there is not a divine religion which does not show respect and honor to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Ta'ala elevates the status of a person through the means of difficulty. It comes in a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allots a certain station and status to a person. But he is unable to reach that status by his own deeds. His deeds are not enough to bring him to that status which Allah has already allotted for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring upon him difficult conditions so that he could raise to that station and that status which Allah ta'ala wants to give him beforehand. Allah Ta'ala brings about the difficult condition to grant him that status. So this is, and we see also within difficulty, it contains within it seeds of greatness for a person who goes through that in a proper manner. So Allah Ta'ala says, for we brought about difficulty upon the people of the past, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَدَرَّعُونَ, so that they might turn towards Almighty Allah. Now when difficulty comes upon us individually or collectively, whether it is of the first kind or the second kind, whether it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remind us of the evil ways that we have adopted, or whether it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to elevate our status, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And that is why the process of accountability within yourself is so important. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take stock of your deeds before Allah ta'ala takes stock of your deeds. After the battle of Uhud, when the Muslims suffered a setback, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that so beautifully in the Holy Quran. أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَصَابَتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا قُلْتُمْ أَنَّا هَذَا. When the setback came upon the Muslims, they started asking one another, أَنَّا هَذَا, where did this come from? How did the setback come? قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Look at your own self. Look at your own self. That is part of the process of introspection, which today unfortunately we as Muslims have lost. All the time introspecting, seeing that where have we gone wrong? Perhaps we have gone wrong somewhere. That is why these situations have occurred. Allah Ta'ala says in another place in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. O you who believe, rectify yourself. Because your destiny is in your own hands. It's not in the hands of someone else. O you who believe, rectify your own self. لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اَحْتَدَيْتُمْ. Those who are astray would not be able to harm you إِذَا اَحْتَدَيْتُمْ, if you are on the right path. لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ. Those who are astray would not be able to harm you إِذَا اَحْتَدَيْتُمْ, if you are on the right path. If they are able to do so, it is because you have not been able to rectify yourself to the desired limit and level which Allah Ta'ala wants you to do. So this is the introspection that comes about why difficulty comes upon us. But the fact is that this difficulty is part of the trial Allah Ta'ala subjects us to see whether who does righteous deeds and who does otherwise. Now, when difficult condition comes, normally many a times Muslims regard this to be a trial. Why does this happen? But what is amazing is that when we are in peaceful conditions, or when we are living a life of, you know, some types of comfort and ease, then it never occurs to anyone that is also part of the test. It never occurs to someone. But in reality, that is not only part of the test, but according to the statement of many Sahaba, that is an even greater test and challenge than the first challenge. Because there you still start sometimes think of Almighty Allah, when everything is going well, things are going rosy, then the thought doesn't come that is also part of the test. How many times we have seen people when they put up beautiful homes, put up a nice frame, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is the bounty of Almighty Allah. And sometimes if you buy a beautiful car, also you put a sticker, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is the bounty of Almighty Allah. We remember that portion of the ayat. Very few people tell you the next portion of the ayat. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Yes, that is a bounty. But Allah gives it to you to test you, whether you are grateful to Allah with what He has granted you, or are you ungrateful. And the word Allah uses for ungratefulness is kufr. And Allah Ta'ala uses the word kufr because kufr is a person, a disbeliever, is an ingrate by nature. He is ungrateful by nature. How many of us regard the easy condition that we have as part of the examination? Many of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Ajma'in were heard to be saying, when Allah Ta'ala tested us with difficult conditions, we somehow passed the test. When Allah Ta'ala started to test us with these, we are failing the test. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to be a very wealthy Sahaba. When there used to be people on his tablecloth and they used to be eating, and then the thought used to come upon him, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not giving us the reward of our deeds earlier, so that there is no reward for our deeds when we go to the year after. And he used to cry. People used to ask him, why are you weeping? He used to give that reason. They also used to weep, and everyone used to take the food away from the tablecloth without anyone eating. That is also part of the test. And what is also further amazing with regard to this whole concept is that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses easy conditions upon people. Allah ta'ala brings about easy conditions upon people not as a favor, not as a favor, but out of extreme displeasure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you easy conditions. Now you would normally say, a person say, how can I understand this? This is Allah ta'ala not pleased with me and He's making things easy for me. How is this possible? Hazrat Maulana Umar Palanpuri Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to give this example. He says sometimes there is in the house animals which annoy people, mouse or rats for example. So you take a piece of cheese, you cut it, you put it in a trap, and you use that piece of cheese to lure that annoying animal so that it will be trapped and no more be a means of inconvenience to you. Sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes, your child comes, it's 1 or 2 hours before eating time, he says, I'm hungry. You tell him it's going to be eating time just now, but in the meanwhile, you open up the fridge, you take a piece of cheese, you cut it and you give it to him and say, eat this for the meanwhile, till the time comes for us to eat and have a proper meal. Now in both the instances, one is you have given a piece of cheese to someone, the other one also you have cut the cheese and you have left it for someone. Now no one will tell you that this is the two similar circumstances. One, you have given it to your child out of satisfaction and happiness. One, you have given it to trap that thing which is causing you inconvenience. Allah Ta'ala also sometimes give wealth people to people in these different circumstances. Now you will say, where is this? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. When you forget what Allah Ta'ala has reminded you about, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. I open up doors of ease for you. Hatta إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. When you become happy with the ease which I have given you, then when an easy condition comes and then difficult condition comes, everyone knows by logic that it is more difficult to face those difficult conditions. Hatta إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. When you become happy with what Allah has given you, أَخَذَنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Then Allah Ta'ala catches you unaware. Allah seizes you and you become despondent. So this aspect for us to understand is that during the process of trial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjects human beings both in easy conditions and difficult conditions as is part of the test. Although we must ask Allah, we as human beings today, we must ask Allah, oh Allah, we are so weak, we are not worthy of testing. You grant us your rahmat and your mercy and your forgiveness without testing us. Our ustad, Hazrat Maulana Idris Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, was our ustad in Sahih Muslim and Jalalain. He used to be very strict in marking the examination papers. Very strict. One day, on one occasion, he, for a particular student, didn't write any mark on the paper. So the administration of the madrasa went to ask him that, why did you not write anything here? So he said, yeah, aadmi to sifar ka bhi kabil nahi. Meaning he's not even worthy of putting a zero on this paper. Not even worthy of putting a zero on this paper. We are also in that situation. We are not even worthy of being tested. But that's a different matter. That is a different matter. But the fact remains is Allah Ta'ala brings about easy. And for us to feel happy when there is easy conditions, and for us to be despondent when there are difficult conditions, is inability to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's process of accountability and Allah Ta'ala's process of examination in this world. Now after we understand that, one of the things that normally happens with us Muslims today is, we tend to become very despondent over events. We tend to become very despondent. Whether again on an individual level or on a collective level. And this is so surprising, because the basis of our religion is to be positive and not to be despondent. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran tells us, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْعَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. A disbeliever loses faith in the mercy, loses hope in the mercy of Allah. It is impossible for a person to believe in Allah and to lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَفَاعَلَ الْخَيْرُ تَجِدْهُ. Look for something to be positive about, you will find it. Look for something to be positive about, you will find it. Today, when there is such an effort being made upon the Muslims to capture his heart and mind, one would have thought that the amount of effort that is there to take his heart and mind away from regarding something as sacred, from regarding something to be worthy of sacrificing for, to regard something as important enough to regard as sacred, that would have vanished from the hearts and minds of Muslims throughout the world. But, you know, the way Akbar al-Abadi has said that today is a world where nothing is regarded to be sacred. To such an extent, Raqibona Rapat Likwai, Ja Jaqe Thane Me, Ki Akbar Yaad Karta Hai Khuda Ko Is Zamane Me. People have laid a charge at the police station that Akbar is thinking of Allah in this day of age, when it is impossible or at least difficult for people to regard something as sacred. With the type of effort that has been made, one would have thought that people would have been lost all sense of sacredness. But what we are finding, Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Almighty Allah, that people are becoming more and more into the masjid. Young people are turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which 20 years ago was something unheard of. People are having concern and there is an awakening with regard to what there is about Islam. Isn't there something for us to start thinking about the positive aspect? When we look at the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find this beautiful aspect. That whenever there was any type of setback, which again as I said is part of the trial, whenever there was any setback, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the extra lens to go and reassure the Muslims, despite that setback, you would be successful if you are loyal and committed and dedicated to your responsibility. Look at after the Battle of Uhud. The second quarter of the fourth Sufara is an amazing quarter of the Sufara, a portion of the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala makes mention with regard to the causes and reasons why there was a setback in Uhud. On one hand, Allah Ta'ala tells the Muslims and the Sahaba, because of your own doings, you needed to introspect, perhaps you did something wrong. But at the same time, from time to time, during that the phase of the Holy Quran, إِيَّمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْهٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْهٌ مِثْلُهُ. If you have suffered wounds, your enemy have also suffered wounds. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Do not be grieved. Do not lose hope. وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَالُونَ. You will be victorious. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are faithful in your belief. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَاللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. We know that there were certain shortcomings during the course of the battle. But don't worry, we have forgiven you with regard to that. For a little while they were you in the battle, it's a small type of, sleep overcame you. That was from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you forget the difficulty that came upon during the battle. Then you take another example in the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in, they leave Madinah al-Munawwara because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related a dream that he was making tawaf and making umrah. The Sahaba was for so many years they did not see Makkah al-Mukarramah, especially the people who had migrated from Makkah to Medina, that they started preparing. Seeing the enthusiasm, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also gave them and also started preparing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not tell them directly to prepare. But when he related the dream, they themselves started preparing to go for Umrah. They come right up to the outskirts of Makkah al-Mukarramah, just few miles away from Makkah al-Mukarramah. And then the whole process of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah takes place. Among the clauses of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is, you are not going to perform Umrah this year. Go back to Medina and Munawwara. Take out your ihram. We will not allow you to perform Umrah. The Sahaba are so enthusiastic. For so many years they have been denied the opportunity of seeing the Baytullah. Denied the opportunity of seeing the Kaaba and the Baytullah. But yet, the treaty says that you must take out your ihram and go back to Medina and Munawwara. Perhaps for the first time in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells them, take out your ihram. None is responding. In that state, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes in his tent. Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the mother of the entire ummah, sees Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam disappointed. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, why are you disappointed? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam relates the reason. Umm Salma says, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, they are disappointed. They wanted to perform Umrah. Because of the disappointment, they are not responding to your call. It is not because of defiance. It is not because of defiance, or it is not because they want to disobey you. It is because of disappointment. But if you go in the middle, you start shaving off your hair, they will follow suit. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does so and they follow suit. At that stage, Umar radiallahu ta'ala who comes to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, are we not on truth? Are they not on falsehood? If this is the case, why should we agree upon such clauses in the agreement which seem so apparently against the Muslims? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reassures him, Oh Umar, what you are saying is true, but this comes from Almighty Allah. At such a time of disappointment, the Sahaba are leaving back without performing Umrah. Taking out the ihram, few miles away from Makkah Mukarramah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the ayat. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have granted you a tremendous victory. Subhanallah. We have granted you a tremendous victory. The ulama started now going to look at the reasons in which portion of this treaty was their victory. But later events were to prove what a great victory this was. This has been the sunnah of the life of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We never become despondent because we have a responsibility to fulfill. Each and every ummati has a responsibility to fulfill. Bidaya wa nihaya has made mention of an incident of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu prior to his days of accepting Islam. Just to show you that how can we be despondent irrespective of the apparent situations. Bidaya wa nihaya makes mention that Umar ibn Khattab was well known for his hostility against Islam and the Muslims and against Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the extent when even the most ardent enemy of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who was against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hesitated to harm Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of Bani Hashim's protection of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because anyone who harmed Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have had to contend with Bani Hashim, who protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not because of faith, but because of tribal loyalty. At that stage, Umar got up and said, I will assassinate Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of the consequences. This shows his hostility against Islam and the Muslims and against Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beginning stages. Bidaya wa Nihaya says there was a couple who, because of the oppression meted out to the early Muslims, were leaving Makkah Mukarramah. They had taken their possessions, they were sitting and leaving Makkah Mukarramah. While they were leaving, one of the Sahaba, I think his name was, I'm not sure with regard to the name, slips me now, he went to go and buy something and the wife was sitting by the possessions. And when she was sitting by the possessions, Umar comes past. When Umar comes past, Umar said, where are you going to? She relayed the reason. She also became angry and said, oh Umar, you will have made it difficult for us to practice our religion. We are leaving Makkah Mukarramah. Umar says, may Allah protect you. The ulama write, the first time something positive about Islam came out of the tongue of Umar ibn Khattab. When the husband comes back, the wife tells the husband, I think there is a change in the attitude and the heart of Umar ibn Khattab. He told me, may Allah protect you. Now just to show you his hostility and how it was recognized by the people, this Muslim Sahabi turned around and said, Khattab's donkey can accept Islam, Khattab's son can't accept Islam. Perhaps Khattab's donkey can accept Islam, Khattab's son can't accept Islam. But yet, within a short period of time, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, oh Allah, grant Islam victory and grant Islam strength, either through the means of Umar ibn Hisham or either through the means of Umar ibn Khattab, the same Umar becomes a devoted and loyal servant of our beloved Nabi Karim. This is, what was his condition and what happened? Do we lose despondency when we have such examples in the life of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes, we do take necessary steps with regard to the means, what we need to adopt, or the means of mashura, etc. But these are the type of things that we never lose hope. And we are always optimistic because we have a very great responsibility. A responsibility not only for ourselves, not only for our family, not only for people of our own faith, but for the entire humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant and fill the qabr of the Sahaba of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with nur. They explained to us so many things. The general of the enemies asked Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, send me someone to come and explain to me the reason why you have come here. Send me someone. Why have you come here? What have brought you away from the Arabian Peninsula to come and tackle the superpowers of the time? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant rahmat and mercy to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. He doesn't send a very great sahabi who was well known among the people. He sends a sahabi who, had it not for this incident, perhaps you would never have heard of the sahabi. Had it not been for this incident, perhaps we would never have heard of the sahabi. He sends Rabi ibn Amir. And Rabi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu goes in the court of the general. He goes in such a way that he takes his sword and he scrapes it across the expensive carpet that have been placed to impress him and to make him feel overawed. And he comes and he sits not in front of where the place had been set for him, in front of the general, but he comes and sits together with the general on top. The people said, "You are not supposed to sit. This is your place." So he said, I haven't come here on my own. You have called me. If you're not happy where I'm sitting, I'm leaving behind." They asked, "Why have you come?" And he said, "لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ." We have come to remove people from the bondage of the creation and put them in the bondage of the creator of creations. We have come to take people away from the injustice of other isms and ideologies and bring them to the justice of Islam. We have come to take people away from the narrowness and straightness of this material world that they have gathered themselves in, and take them to the vastness, according to one narration, to the vastness of this world, and according to another narration, the vastness of the hereafter. That is what we have come for. And that remains our responsibility. And when we say this remains our responsibility, we do not take that responsibility in a condescending manner. We do not make mention with regard to the responsibility as if we are proud and we are superior to other people, and therefore we are taking the people away from that bondage. We do so with such, or we are supposed to do so with such a feeling of concern, with such a feeling of sympathy for people, and such a concern with regard to the plight of human beings throughout the world. With a real concern, not with pride. We do so with real concern that we are your well wishers. We are not against you. We are your well wishers. We want you to be succeed both in this world and the hereafter. We do not throw thorns in the path of those who throw thorns in our path. Because if we do so, the entire world will be filled with thorns. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Do not repel evil with evil. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Repel evil with goodness. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Those who are your enemies will become your bosom friends and companions. We do so with the utmost of compassion. The way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Why are you putting yourself through such strain when people are not accepting Islam? We do so the way the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of it in the Holy Quran. They told the people of the tribe, they told the Prophet, قَالَ الْمَلَوُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِ إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَةَ وَإِنَّا لَنَزُنُّكُمْ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We look upon you as a foolish person. And we look upon you as a liar. If someone will tell us today, someone who is standing and giving a talk and inviting people that you are a liar, how would we respond? Most probably we will respond and say, you are a liar, your father is also a liar. That's perhaps how we would respond. What did the Nabi of Allah say? Ya qawm, laysa bi safaha. Oh my tribe, I am not a foolish person. Laysa bi safaha, inni la rasulun min rabbil alameen. I am a rasul of the Lord of the worlds. I am not a foolish person, I am not a liar. I have come here for your benefit. This is how we are supposed to carry our responsibility. Do not lose hope. Be optimistic. Not only do not be optimistic, also take that responsibility of ours, not with pride. Now, of course, a person can become proud in this type of situation. We've got the right. We are superior. But also another aspect that sometimes that comes into the mind is this, that how do we take this message forward? You know, without us being in an air of superiority. Also another aspect sometimes comes into mind, we are so weak, we know our situation. How are we going to take this great responsibility forward? Then our ulama write and say that we must always keep this at the back of our mind. We are weak. We are weak. As individuals, we are weak. But the message that we represent is not weak. We are weak. We are very weak. But the message that we represent is not weak. And that is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is all supreme, all powerful, and always haq and truth. And that is with what confidence we will go with that message of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why our ulama tell us with regard to steadfastness, steadfastness, always be steadfast, because that is also one of the requirements of the present time. Because there is so much effort being made to win over the hearts and minds of our Muslims, especially the youth, that it is possible today that we can lose the required type of steadfastness. And this steadfastness and istiqamah is such a great quality and attribute that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by the Sahaba Ikram, One Sahabi came, Ya Rasulullah, give me a small message and advice that I don't need to refer to anyone thereafter. Give me one advice. I don't need to refer to anyone again for advice. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Say, I believe in Allah and remain committed to that commitment that you have made to Allah till the day you die. Say, I believe in Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ, and remain steadfast upon that commitment till the day you die. Once the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Majma'in, they noticed that there was white hair in the beard of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, you are becoming old. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Shayyibani Hud. Surah Hud has made me old. The ulama went through Surah Hud. What is that ayat that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has referred to that has made me old? According to majority of the Mufassirin, it refers to this ayat, Wastaqim kama umir. Be steadfast upon what we have commanded you to do. It's very, very short and comprehensive ayat, but the meaning is very great. It means that you do not compromise your faith. No innovations are allowed in Islam. Do not compromise your morals. Do not compromise your morality. For example, if it is haram and prohibited for Muslim youth to intermingle and to have relationships with the opposite sex, then I would remain steadfast upon that, no matter how normal and how widespread it becomes in the community that I'm living in. I will remain steadfast to my way. Remain steadfast upon the Islamic economic system, which makes interest haram, irrespective if the entire economy is interest driven. You remain steadfast. And what steadfastness, our ulama say, also means is this, that if you have a weakness, then that weakness must not make you compromise your steadfastness. Let me give you an example. When someone is asked by any person can ask, well, how many times is it for us for you to perform salat? Each and everyone will say it is compulsory upon us to read 5 times daily for a salat. Everyone will say that. Even if I'm only reading 2 a day, even if I'm only reading 3 a day, if I'm reading 2 or 3 salat a day, which I'm unfortunate because I'm not fulfilling my obligation, I won't go and tell people that 5 times daily for a salat was for the time when the people were not so busy. Now we are leading a very hectic life, therefore I can't manage 5 times, I can only read 3, and therefore I can only confine myself to 3. If you are reading 2 or 3, what do? You don't compromise on your ideals. You will always say that 5 times daily for a salat is compulsory. And your weakness, you go and sort it out with Allah. Oh Allah, you make me mark my shortcomings. Oh Allah, you make me in a position that I will be able to fulfill this 5 times daily salat. That weakness of yours doesn't allow you the right to go and compromise the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your weakness, you go and sort it out with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. So this is a responsibility that we have. In conclusion, I will make mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has given us many aspects with regard to our responsibility. We have many things to do. We cannot be deterred by any type of situation, whether it be ease, whether it be difficulty, which as I said is part of the trial and part of the examination. We cannot be deterred by unnecessary getting involved in conspiracy theories and this one did this and that one did that. We have a responsibility. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua to Almighty Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's duas contain many great aspects of wisdom. Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Nabi rahmatullah alayhi has written a kitab, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the mirror of his supplication. It's a wonderful book with regard to the lessons that we learn from the duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the duas that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make was, وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, grant me that firmness and conviction and faith that will lighten and ease my difficulties in this world. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, grant me that faith and conviction which will ease my difficulties in this world. The ulama write that true faith and true iman is such that when a person has faith in Allah, he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is most just. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that will bring the people to justice. Even if it's after a little while, those who are oppressors, their time will come. Their time will come with regard to facing the consequence of the oppression. We must always have firm faith in that. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to Fir'aun. رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاجْدُرْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَهُ الْعَذَابَ الْعَلِيمِ رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Oh Allah, destroy his wealth. Destroy his wealth because he is using that wealth against the truth. وَاجْدُرْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And put a veil and a seal upon his heart that he will not accept iman until he sees your punishment. Allah Ta'ala says, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. Allah Ta'ala says, O Musa, we have accepted your dua. But the ulama writes, even after narrating and making mention that Allah has accepted the dua, it took 70 years for the manifestation of the dua to be shown to the people. But the time came. The time came. When that time came, then that same Fir'aun, despite his arrogance, and he used to say, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَىٰ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has made a mistake by going and look for Almighty Allah in the Mount of Sinai. I'm your Lord. Such pride. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَىٰ. I'm your Lord. And then the time came that same Fir'aun, you see, death and being destroyed, you know, it wipes away many types of pride and arrogance of a person. And when he saw death staring him in his face, the same Fir'aun that said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَىٰ, I am your Lord, what did he say? آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ. I bring iman upon the Lord of Bani Israel. And Allah Ta'ala says, آلْآنَ وَقَدْ أَسَيْتَ قَبْلُ. Now you want to bring iman, when all along you have been disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what this incident tells us is, the time for the punishment of the oppressor will definitely come. But we cannot judge when that is going to happen. It shows us our inherent flaws in our time scales. Our time scales are not good. Allah is not going to bring things in accordance with our time scales. Allah Ta'ala is going to bring about decisions in this world according to His wisdom, which He knows. The only thing that happened with regard to the time that went, and for those people who were under the yoke of the oppression of Fir'aun, for them it might have seemed like a time or eternity. But the time came when his oppression did not last. It was brought to a standstill. And that is what we always got to realize. And that is what Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُحَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَعِبَ الدُّنْيَا. Give me that faith that will reason and lighten my difficulty in this world. Firmness of faith and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about that situation that a person realizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after him irrespective of the situation. When the first time they came to go and confront Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, what did they ask Fir'aun? Inna lana ala ajran in kunna nahnu al-ghalibin. What is going to be our reward if we are overcome, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam? What are you going to give us? In material terms, what are you going to give us if we overcome Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Qalu na'am innakum idhan lamin al-muqarrabin. So what did Fir'aun tell them? What are you worried about? You would become my close family. You would become my close people. You would become my allies. You would become very close to me. I would give you all types of things. I would grant you all types of things. You would become those who are very close to me. And then when they realized the truth, and they saw that Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is not like amongst them, not amongst another magician, but he had the power that was beyond their magic, then what they did, they brought iman upon Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the deen of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Fir'aun told them, لَوْ قَتْيَنَّ عَيْدِيَكُمْ وَعَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. I will cut your hands and I will cut the opposite leg and feet of yours. What did they tell him? قَالُوا لَنْ نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَىٰ مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the truth, nothing can take priority with regard to the truth. Even your threats don't even be able to harm us. وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا فَقْضِ مَا عَنْتَ كَارِزٍ. Do whatever you want to do. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You can only do something with regard to this material world. You cannot harm us with regard to our prosperity. It will come and follow in the wake of those people who follow the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have tremendous responsibilities, my dear respected brothers. The responsibility with regard to our individual reformation, with regard to the reformation of our ummah, with regard to the reformation of the society, with regard to fulfilling our role of proclaiming the message of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the greatest of compassion to the entire world, to strengthening our infrastructure, with regard to fighting off the threat that comes upon our minds that has been waged today against the people of truth throughout the world, we have tremendous responsibility. That responsibility requires us to be determined, requires us to have firm faith in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, requires us to carry out our responsibility with the greatest of conviction, and we don't have time thereafter to worry about things that will deter us from fulfilling our responsibility. May Allah Ta'ala give you a tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'awana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم انت السلام منك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ثبتنا على الايمان واعمتنا على الايمان واحشرنا يوم القيامه مع الايمان. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية رغبتنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا. اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا. اللهم أكرمنا ولا تهنا. اللهم أعطنا ولا تحرمنا. اللهم عافنا ولا تغفر علينا. اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.